Hey there, welcome to the Musicians Met podcast. Before we start, I just want to say thanks for listening, and if you've been enjoying previous episodes, please consider picking up the Musicians Met ebook or audiobook to help support the creation of future episodes. Those of you who have gotten the ebook or audiobook, thank you sincerely. I do appreciate you all, and it's you people who have directly contributed to this episode. If you can't part with a tenner at the moment and you still want to show some love, send me an email at kane@musiciansmap.org or get in touch on the Musicians Map Facebook page and say hello. Hearing from a listener who is gaining insight from the podcast really makes my day and makes all the effort worth it. You can also rate and review the podcast on iTunes or wherever else you listen to podcasts, so other people can benefit from the wealth of information here all for free. So, speaking of a wealth of information, my guest today is the wonderful Parabola West. Parabola is a New Zealand-based singer-songwriter who creates a blend of folk and electronica that she's labelled, wait for it, Folktronica. Amazing. Her latest single is called Calling Your Name. Look in the podcast description for links to check it out, and I thoroughly recommend you do so. It's really good, and there's also an awesome video for it as well. In 2016, Parabola ran a successful crowdfunding campaign to fund her 2017 EP, Purity of Weakness. She shares the details of that campaign and outlines what it takes to succeed at crowdfunding and what you need to know before you even consider it.
Well, my music name is Parabola West. My real name is Amy. I'm a singer-songwriter with a kind of strong Celtic vibe in my music, and my style is folktronica. So kind of a bit of folk and a bit of electronica.
Love it.
Yeah.
And that's not a New Zealand accent?
No. I'm originally from the States, but I've been here since 2003, and I've been in Raglan for about 3 years. But I can't get rid of the accent. My husband says it sounds like a chainsaw. It's nice.
Lovely. What a sweet man.
He's just gold. Yeah.
And so what's your primary instrument, if you have one?
Primary instrument is piano or keyboard.
Yeah.
Got a really nice Nord Stage 2, which I love. I just love to play the keyboard.
And you have successfully crowdfunded an EP.
Yes, that was exciting.
So that's mainly what I want to talk about, obviously. That's what we know. I've never done anything to do with crowdfunding.
Well, yeah.
All I've done is think about it and then not done it. What are some of the main players?
Well, there are an increasing number of crowdfunding platforms, and I'm seeing a lot more popping up on my social media in terms of, I think they're becoming more popular for people to have a go at. I think some of the main platforms are things like Indiegogo or PledgeMe or Kickstarter. Those seem to be the ones that are primarily used for musicians. But I think that they're becoming a more popular way to try to gain interest and momentum in a project and try to secure some funding.
And is it just about the funding? Is it just about the money, or is it also like an advantage because it's like a campaign as well?
Well, I mean, the funding is really important, but the benefits of doing a crowdfund is that you do build this excited community of invested, interested people, and you take them on this journey. And so you've already kind of got this excited audience for the project that you're working on, and it's great for brand awareness, and there aren't really a lot of downsides unless you run a terrible campaign, in which case that could be bad. But
yeah,
but there are a lot of benefits that come from it outside of just the funding. So I do recommend giving it a go as long as you're prepared.
Firstly, okay, what's the best site? Which is the site that you went with?
So the best site is difficult to say because it'll depend on a few things. So I say give yourself a good 6 months before you plan on doing a crowdfund to start thinking about these things and planning. Because you need to look at all these different platforms and find out what are their unique characteristics. Like some have all or nothing campaigns where if you don't reach the goal, you don't get anything. So it's like this inbuilt kind of urgency and they sort of run it like that. Some of them let you keep the money even if you don't reach the campaign. Some don't allow credit cards. Some do PayPal. Some are better if your main audience is in the States or the UK versus in New Zealand. So
sure.
Like I did Indiegogo, that was the one that I ended up doing. But at the time, it didn't even accept New Zealand dollars, so it was all my campaign was in Australian dollars. So
Yeah.
But I chose Indiegogo because I knew that most of my donors were going to be from the States. And so that was just a really good platform for that. And I had seen a few other successful campaigns that I liked the way that it looked and was presented. So I decided to go with that one. But yeah, the process of preparing was a long one. I started about 6 months out.
So it's not something that you can just sort of go, okay, you know, I want to do an album. I want to put it out in a couple of months. Let's see if all of our fan base will pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, you can give that a go, but I think you'd really be missing out on the benefits of a lot of good research. I mean, one of the first things that you have to do is you have to look at different campaigns and see what they look like, what they're doing. Studying the successful ones is really important. And figuring out who you think you're going to get this money from. And start building that community of interest well ahead of when you decide to do a campaign, because you have to set the scene with people and give them a bit of warning and prepare them, because so that they know that at a certain period of time, you're going to be annoying the guts out of them for a whole month, you know, and but they're ready for it by that stage. So,
yeah.
But you need time to build your assets for it. You need like some great photos. That makes a campaign so much better and so much more shareable. You need a great campaign video. That takes time to do and prepare.
Mm.
You need to know what you want to say and how you're going to market it. All of those things take time.
Who are you selling it to?
I mean, initially I had thought that I was primarily going to be selling it to my friends and family, because I thought, well, these are the people that, you know, turn up at things and
yep.
and everything. And that was the case. But you're selling it to your fan base and your potential listeners, and you're creating something that is highly shareable. So you want to create something that's looking great so that the people who are supporting you are really happy to share it with their friends and family.
Mm.
And so you have to make it accessible to a much wider network, and really explaining what your music is about and what your project is, and a little bit about the budget, why you're trying to raise that certain amount,
yeah.
all those things.
Yeah. Why they might want to invest in it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've seen the crowdfunding videos where people maybe, like, some are great and then some are kind of meh. And you can really tell, and you sort of feel like you can tell within the first 10 seconds of the video if they're really excited and passionate about this project and you kind of want to get on board. And I think that's so important to get that across. Yeah, so just taking your time with those assets early on, well in advance. But getting your budget together, I mean, that's massive. Like, even knowing, you know, because one of the first things people want to know is, why should I, what are you going to do with all this money? How much does it cost to do what you're doing? And, you know, you have to think about researching all of the different ways that, you know, if you want to, what are the different costs of various distributors? Or if you're wanting to make a CD, you know, is the packaging going to be cheaper here or here? And what is your product going to look like? And how much is the recording going to cost? How much are you going to have to pay your session musicians? You have to build all of those costs into your budget, as well as a little bit more, because really it ends up costing
a
lot more than you think it
will.
Yeah.
So did you fund the entire project from, I assume you'd written the songs and you're like, right, I've got these killer songs and I want to record them and make this whole thing and do the advertising campaign, or...
Yeah, well, I had all the songs written and I kind of knew which ones I wanted to record, and I had already gone through and, you know, secured good deals with a producer and some studio time. And so I had an idea of what my fixed costs were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't really account for were all of the things like I should have built in my marketing budget. I didn't really think about that at the time. I didn't think it was okay to ask people for money outside of just the actual physical thing.
Sure.
There's so much more that goes into it that you pay for.
Yeah.
Your artwork, all of that graphic design, even if you need to outsource some of the promotional things like the skins on your social pages and things, like all of these costs you have to really make sure you're factoring in and let people know. People like to see a budget.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I
that's nerdy, but some people ask, they're like, what's it going towards?
Yeah.
So if you have a really nice document.
I suppose if someone's actually donating, you know, if you're donating $5 or $10, maybe you're not going to, you know, you're just doing it because you're like, yeah, I want to support
her. Yeah.
You know, and I love that. I mean, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
But maybe if you're donating a bit more, maybe you're like, okay, I'm interested in like,
yeah, sort of, I'm invested. Show me what we got here.
Yeah.
How prepared are you?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. And I think another thing to think about is when you're, because a lot of the campaigns involve like an exchange of goods, like perks on the campaign. So, you know, if you give me this much money in addition to helping me out, I'll give you this, you know? And so things like researching those and getting those price points, it's gonna really think about how many people is it gonna take donating an average of $20 maybe on average, or $30, depending upon who they are. How many people am I going to need to reach in order to achieve the number I'm trying to get? And just working backwards from that, it's like, it's kind of stressful. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's great because you get like your business head around it and you're like, okay.
So what were your rewards?
Oh, well, I mean, I had rewards from price points all the way from $5, or I think it was even $1. I think you could just get like a shout out on social media for what, $1 or something like that. But nobody donates $1, but it's sure. Good to have it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was the pre-order of the CD, which was really what I was, that was what, the main thing I was
pushing. Did you do a physical CD?
Yeah, I did a physical CD. So there was the pre-order of that. There were digital downloads. I think that was a $10 reward. I had them at price points like $30, $50, $75, $100, $150. To, you know, like I was trying to have different things. I offered home concerts, online concerts. I would write you a song. I would craft you a thing, you know, or handwritten lyrics. Or I was just trying to think about what I didn't have to outlay money for.
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have any merchandise.
Yeah.
So I was just trying to think of those. Some of them were really popular and some of them nobody was interested in. So that's why I say go and check out other campaigns, see what perks they're offering. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, just see what people want.
What was your biggest?
Oh, the pre-order was probably the biggest. And then heaps of people just donated and didn't specify that they wanted anything. Yeah. Of course, I was like, but let me. You know, I was like, And I wanted to give, you know, send them the CD, of course. But that, and I think house concerts. I was surprised at how many house concerts I sold. I mean, because they were expensive.
How much were they?
It was like $500.
Sweet. Yeah, good deal.
Yeah, I was really surprised.
And so, what was your biggest ticket item? What was the most expensive thing that someone could buy?
I think that was it, yeah. There was one cool piece of merchandise which somebody bought, which is one of a bit of memorabilia from a music video. It was one of the masks from the Fire video.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's cool.
So the main one in that video is with somebody else now.
Cool.
But yeah.
So what are some of the things that artists need to think about? What are some like prerequisites before you should even consider doing a crowdfunding
campaign? Thank you for asking. I've prepared something. Nice. Okay. Well, we talked about creating a project budget.
Yeah.
That's really important. So you take your time to research all of those things. Studying other campaigns, that's really important. Great photos, all that stuff. I mean, it sort of touched on all of that, but photos that people haven't seen yet.
Hire someone to take your photos.
Yeah, hire somebody to take your photos, but make them great. Like, because photos get much more shares on social media. So when you have new content, it just really helps to boost things along and keep it visually interesting. Because you have to kind of think about how are you going to find new and exciting ways to ask same people for money over the course of a month. Because you're going to have to be posting every day with different things. You've got to plan your posts. That would be like schedule them in, like think about, okay, well, you know, this milestone and this milestone and this milestone, I'm going to post this, this, and this. And so just having a plan makes it so much easier because when you're in the thick of it, you like that's all you're doing, you know, it's so you want to have as much planned out as possible beforehand.
Do you think you need to be at a certain like status? Do you need to have a certain amount of followers, you know, be playing a certain type of show? Or?
I think you have to have a community of genuine interest. And if you don't, then I would say start there. Yeah. That's the first thing to do. Because those people are going to be the ones who are really going to support you. You're hoping to have a product at the end to give to these people. So you need to have the people first. So before anything else, really start building your community of, I don't want to say fans, but just supporters.
Yeah.
And write down a list of who you actually think would support you, you know?
Like actually
write down their names.
Their names.
Yeah. And contact them individually and just say, hey, I'm thinking about running a campaign. Is that something that you would Do you think that's a good idea? Would you think, would you be interested in supporting something? It just kind of test the waters. Because you don't want to go through all of it and not succeed.
Yeah, that would be horrible, wouldn't it?
Look, yeah, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just because people ask for too much up front and then they don't provide enough backup.
What's a reasonable amount of money to ask for an EP or an album, do you think?
I took advice from Katie Thompson of Corky Music, and she's in Christchurch, and she really helped me a lot with my campaign. She managed it, actually, and just so she gave me all of this advice well in advance. And she said to me that for your first campaign, I don't recommend you doing like asking for any more than 10,000. So that's what I did. I was trying to raise 8,000 Australian or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I was trying to work it out, but 10,000 was kind of the number I had in my mind from the funding from New Zealand On Air, as far as like what a project costs. Even though they were different projects, I thought, well, I know I can kind of work with that. Mm. So that's what I asked for. And I ended up with just over 8,500 at the end of it, which was great.
Nice.
Because it was like, ah.
Yeah.
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 And Indiegogo was great because they pay you like right at the end of the campaign.
Yep.
Which is super.
And how much time total did it take you from when you went, okay, I'm going to do crowdfunding until success, I got money?
Well, I started out a number of months early just planning my things. I got my photo shoot done, all of that. So it was probably 6 months beforehand I was starting to collect information and assets. And then the campaign, earnestly, I was planning things like the perks and the rewards and all of my written content 3 months in advance. I was planning my posts. And then the campaign ran for a month. And then afterwards, the fulfillment stage of all of the promises that I'd made over the course of time, that took, you know, another month or so. Yeah, so it's a long time. It's an investment.
So that would have been a little bit difficult, fulfilling all of the stuff that...
Many of the things were online things or related to the actual finished product. So I had time, like people knew it's going to, but I had also set up the timeline of when I was going to be in the studio, you know, because I was trying to use that project to sort of promote the next thing and piggyback onto that. So it kind of ran into that. One of the things I really liked about Indiegogo is that you get the email addresses of everybody and they let you send out these kind of mail outs within the campaign itself. And I don't know if others do this because it's the only one I've used, but so you can kind of keep the invested people in like an exclusive sort of VIP status. You make them sort of feel a bit like they're really on board. So they see all the things on social media. They'll see your normal newsletter or whatever, but then they get these other things. And the more exciting you make those and the more creative you get with it, the more responses and shares and, you know, it's like, you feel like a bit of an underdog and people are rooting for you and it's like, yay.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It's interesting. Like I've maybe donated to a couple of campaigns before and there's one in particular that I'm thinking of, but it was just recently a band from the UK and it made me so much more excited about their release.
Totally.
I'm a bit of a fanboy anyway, but as you say, I was invested.
Yeah.
It was, even though it was a small amount, and then I was in the circle and
yes,
I was getting the things.
Totally.
And, then when I was just following them on Facebook and I'd see the status updates of them in the studio, you know, thanks to people and all that sort of stuff, you're like, yes.
Yeah. So it's all about taking them on a journey that you'd be excited to be on with, you know, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the reward of doing it, if you're doing it well and you care, they're just tremendous rewards to doing it. Yeah.
So you mentioned Katie Thompson.
Yes.
Would you recommend that something that people do, like seek a manager or a project manager for that?
Yeah. I mean, if you can put that into your budget, like the cost of paying somebody to do that, yes, I would totally recommend it if it's your first time doing a crowdfund.
Yep.
Because the support and resource of somebody who has kind of been down that road before, it's so important. Mm. It's a stressful project. You know, and it goes on. And if you don't really know what you're doing, it can be a little bit overwhelming. So definitely getting somebody who can be supporting you would be amazing. And if you can afford it, a crowdfund manager. Yeah, totally do it.
Well, as you say, put it in the budget.
Yeah, put it in the budget. And make sure that you add shipping to everything that you're going to send out.
Because
don't get stung with having to pay for shipping.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you don't manage the expectations of time frames, people get a little bit like they want one thing before the album comes out. Mm. And you're going to have to send the album and it's going to have to be shipped. And if you send two things, you can't buzz them for shipping twice. So you just, that's a tip.
Yeah, especially because you're asking from fans from all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that can be a challenge. And Indiegogo was great with that too.
And realistically, how long did you work on it? What sort of hours are you putting in?
I was really putting a lot of time into the content. So it was a few hours a day, really.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, if I spread it all out, some days I was doing more or less, but yeah, there's definitely a few hours of every day.
So you can't just go take a few photos, make a video. Hey guys, here's my thing. And then sort of...
I mean, I wouldn't be that excited about that campaign.
No.
I'd be kind of bummed out. I'd kind of feel like they were phoning it in.
Yeah. They just sort of saw it as an easy way to...
Yeah, like I want to make a campaign that I want to follow, you know, like cool things and just... Why not? I mean, why waste the opportunity? You're in front of everybody. They're expecting to hear from you all the time.
Yep.
When does that happen for musicians where people are actually looking forward to getting your stuff, you know? So it's like...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's a total opportunity. So don't waste it away by being a bit like, meh.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would totally do it again. Yeah.
Are you planning to do it again?
I will do it again. I don't have any plans at the moment around timeframes, but I think I will crowdfund when I'm ready to do my album because the last one was just an EP.
But you've just put out a new single.
I have.
What's it called?
It's called Calling Your Name.
Awesome. And you received funding for that one or was it the previous one?
I received funding for a single that I put out in 2015.
Awesome.
And I got funding from New Zealand On Air through a competition that ran that required you to build a community of people to vote for your song every day and play it. And you were pitted against another musician. You know, it was like a chart and whoever got the most plays and shares and votes at the end of the month got the funding. It was called the Wild Card. And it was designed.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's amazing.
It was designed so that people that weren't like already sort of fancy pants in the industry with all of these successes could have a go if they could prove that they could kind of leverage a group. So that's when I say the community of interest. That's kind of how I knew that a crowdfund was gonna be all right because I had already done the work to get people cheering me on for that. So when that happened and when I put out the video and everybody loved it, it was like I'd asked them to do something. I'd made them a promise. And then I delivered on it. Mm. So then I felt like I could do that again. As long as I knew that what I was going to do was going to be something that they wanted.
Sure.
So.
You already built that rapport and that trust.
Yes. And even that song that I released as a single ended up being on the EP that all those people later funded.
Yeah.
And it was pretty much almost every single person that voted for me donated to the campaign. So it was definitely worthwhile.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. It was great.
Is there anything else you think people should know going into a campaign or if they're considering it?
I guess the only thing I would speak to is after the campaign, a little bit like when you're coming off tour, you can get a little bit bluesy.
Sure.
Because it's like you've got this, it's exhausting, but it's exciting and it's exhilarating. So just plan for a bit of downtime. Because you're going to be a little bit battered and worse for wear. But just go for it. But go for it prepared.
Yeah. It sounds like a really big undertaking.
Well, I'm probably making it sound harder than it is just to glorify myself, really.
Well, no, but you're probably just actually showing what the reality is of a successful campaign. As you said, you know, a lot of campaigns don't make it. And maybe they're just the ones that don't put a lot of effort in.
Well, you just got to treat it like it's just business.
Yep.
You're just trying to sell a thing or a concept or an idea. You're making a promise. You're asking for somebody to believe in you. So, yeah, you got to take it seriously.
And where can our listeners hear this EP, and where can they hear your new single?
Well, thank you for asking. Well, all of the links to everything, probably the best place to go is my website, which is www.parabolawest.com. And you've got all of the links there. Otherwise, I hopefully will appear in searches on any of the platforms where you get your music.
And you'll find all of the links in the podcast show notes.
Thanks, man.
Easy. I usually ask people to put forward an artist of the week. If there's anyone that you've been listening to in the last couple of weeks that you'd like to recommend.
Oh, you know what? I would really like to do a shout out to Kendall Elise. Mm. She's a New Zealand artist, and she has just released a new song, which I think is called The Clock Tower. And she is on tour at the moment. And I played a gig with her here in Raglan, and it was great. She's lovely. So I really hope that she has a great, successful run with this song and her upcoming album.
We love Kendall here.
Yes.
Good on her. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
It was
for
a pleasure.
And there we have it. A huge thank you to Parabola West for coming on the podcast so graciously and freely sharing such valuable information with us all. Make sure to check out the EP we discussed and her latest single, Calling Your Name. You can find it on her Facebook page, website, Bandcamp, and YouTube, and links to all of which you can find in the podcast description. The next episode is coming very soon. It's already recorded, and it's absolute gold, so stay tuned. So thanks again for listening. Make sure to subscribe, review, rate, whatever you like to do, and please do get in touch with any comments or suggestions. This podcast and the website musiciansmap.org is dedicated to sharing knowledge and advice about music and the music industry. It's all about community, honesty, and positive progress. The experiences, stories, and advice shared on the podcast are given freely with the hope that you can relate to them and benefit from them. If you've found this podcast enjoyable or useful, make sure to check out the Musicians Map ebook and audiobook about building success in music. You'll find it at musiciansmap.org/books, Amazon, and Audible. And buying a copy of the book directly contributes to the continuation of this podcast. There's also a free ebook, How to Get Your Music Heard. Go to musiciansmap.org/free-book to get your copy. If you have a suggestion for the podcast or for the YouTube channel, or you just want to get in touch and say hello, please do so via the Musicians Map Facebook group or by email at kane@musiciansmap.org. Thanks for listening and stay positive.